2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Welcome to the DFS Army MMA Killshot Podcast for UFC 230. I am your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper. We're going to talk, as I mentioned, UFC 230. The main event is Daniel DC Cormier, the double champ, heavyweight, light heavyweight champion of the world, defending his heavyweight title against Derek Lewis. First part of this podcast from DFS Army is going to be free. We're going to cover the main card. Is five fights total. And then we are going to flip it over to what we do for each and every card, top to bottom, not just the pay-per-views, obviously. Some in-depth plays, breakdowns of the fights. Who you're looking to target on DraftKings, and to help me do that is lead MMA analyst for the DFS Army, Kyle Big Marley. How you doing, Kyle?
I'm good, man. Looking forward to this pay-per-view. Coming off a big week, and I'm ready for another one.
Last week, I had one bad miss that cost me from a big week, but not bad overall. Some really interesting fights on this card. A lot of really wide lines, but live underdogs. So really interesting builds, really interesting constructions. As I mentioned, the first part of the podcast is free. If you want to become a DFS Army member and you are not one, go to DFSArmy.com. Click on the membership options. You can use either one of our codes. So you know what? Pick who you like better. That's what I'm going to start doing from now on. My code is Sniper. Kyle's code, I believe, is Sleeveless. You get 10% off your membership each and every month. Membership is kind of trending upwards. Lock in your price now. You're 10% off. Obviously, not just MMA. NFL, NBA is going. MLB when it's in season. NHL. Research stations with all your stats and tools, statistics, for MMA props, prop bets, and then the domination station is the lineup optimizer, complete with projections for most sports. That being said, let's dig into the fights. I'm going to start with the first fight on the main card. It is Israel Adesanya taking on Derek Brunson. Adesanya is 9,100. Derek Brunson is 7,100. The line on this fight, Adesanya is a minus 300 favorite. The comeback on Derek Brunson is plus 225. This fight is lined as an under, plus 120 for under 1.5 rounds. Derek Brunson has said that he's looking to put Adesanya away in the first round. We've seen Brunson come out with that kill or be killed style. Kyle, how do you have the breakdown on this fight?
I think his best game plan would be to go for takedowns here. And I just don't know that that's going to happen. I feel like he thinks he can go out there and knock Adesanya out, and I don't see that happen. And I think Israel's one of the best fighters in this division. I think he's got the best stand-up in the division, and I think he's a future title holder. I've been super high on him ever since his first fight when I had to do film study for that. I fell in love with him right there. I even told people, I said, wow, I haven't been this excited for a prospect since I did film study on Conor McGregor, and he turned out to be all right. So now Israel's the next guy that I like that much just off of film, and he's came in, he's gone 3-0 so far. I think he's going to go 4-0 here. I think he's going to go ahead and get a knockout in the first or second round because Brunson does have that reckless game where he just goes forward swinging hands and keeping his chin in the air, and that's not going to work well against the best striker in the division with Adesanya, and I think he's going to get clipped with a straight right or anything, really. It could be a head kick. Like, there's just so many ways for Israel to beat him on the feet. So I think Brunson has to have a wrestling game plan if he wants to win this fight. And I don't know if he's good enough to keep Israel down for that long, so I have to go with Israel as my pick. I'm pretty high on him to get a win. It's just that we need the finish for 9,100. I don't see him paying that off compared to these other guys on the card with that price tag. But I do want some lineups with Israel. I think he's one of the guys that I like. That's the range I like to target, is around that 9K. And I do think he gets a knockout. So he's definitely my preferred play of the two, but I do want a couple hedge lineups with Brunson, because this is the toughest fight of Israel's career. Brunson does have good wrestling. He does have good power. He has routes to victory. I just don't think they're likely, so I'm going to go ahead and lean Adesanya by first or second round knockout.
Yeah, the one thing missing our breakdown is that Brunson has probably the worst trash talk in the UFC. It is awful. These guys do not like each other. I don't think Brunson's able to keep his head. I agree with you there. Adesanya does need to finish. The reason why I'm skeptical on pulling the trigger on Adesanya in cash games, if you're considering that route, is that Brunson can ground this fight, and then you're really in trouble. You don't know. I don't think Adesanya will be able to grapple well enough. Tavares was hurt in their last fight. He's able to keep Rob Wilkinson off him, but that was Rob Wilkinson. Adesanya probably viable in cash games. I do think he wins, but I'm worried because of that reckless abandon that Brunson can bring into a fight. And with 4 ounce gloves, we've seen anybody can get clipped. GPP is definitely on the side of Adesanya. For me, the Brunson exposure comes down to how many lineups are you playing. I think I need, for me, there's a couple dogs I like more that we're going to talk about on the VIP side, especially. I think I need about 10 lineups before I start throwing Brunson in one, personally. But I can see with his style why you could want to play more. All right, next fight. Carl Roberson, 8,700, taking on Jack Marshman at 7,500. Roberson is the favorite, minus 300. Comeback on Marshman is plus 225. These guys should stand and trade. This fight is actually more likely to end inside the distance, which is interesting to me, than our last fight. Under 1.5 rounds is plus 110. For me, Roberson, he had the win against Darren Stewart, got a rear naked choke. He's mostly a striker, though. He hurt him on the feet, jumped down there. His last loss, he got, you know, quickly taken down and subbed by Mutanchi. Marshman's a different, completely different opponent. His UFC wins are over Magnus Seidenblad and somebody else terrible whose name is Ryan James, and that was a decision. Marshman's more of a boxer. Roberson's the kickboxer. I always favor the kickboxer, especially with Roberson, in that he is also stronger, I believe, more athletic and faster. Maybe not stronger, but definitely more athletic and faster and younger. Give me Carl Roberson here, especially at the price tag of 8,700. I'm not super confident in his ceiling, but I definitely feel like he has a floor. I don't think Marshman is going to put him away. So I like Carl Roberson in all formats. Marley?
Yeah, I think Roberson's a solid play. He's my pick to get the win as well. Really, the only thing I don't like about it here is that Marshman's got a lot more experience, and Roberson's pretty new into his MMA career. That's basically it. I think Marshman's not really the best dog play because he's not going to go for takedowns. I would rather go for an underdog who will go for takedowns. So I think Roberson's really the only guy that's in play in this fight, and I would like him a lot more if I knew he was going to try and get takedowns. I think if he did get this fight to the ground, he's got a solid edge there as well. I think he could end this fight anywhere, so I do like him. It's just I would like him more if he were going to go ahead and get takedowns. If I could talk to somebody from his camp and get some inside information saying he's going to go in there and go for takedowns on the first round, I'd be all about this guy. But like you said, he's a kickboxer. He wants to make a name for himself here at this card at MSG. So I think he's going to go out there and stand. This is going to be a fun firefight. And I'm just going to go ahead and pick Roberson to get up a finish. I don't know when or how. I just think he's the better fighter all around. And I don't see this going all three. So Roberson by finish. And he's the only guy I'm interested in.
All right, next fight, David Branch, 9,300, taking on Jared Cannonier, 6,900. This fight, put together on short notice. David Branch was supposed to face Jacare Souza. Weidman's opponent pulled out. It was Luke Rockhold. Sosa replaces Rockhold. Cannoneer steps in to take on Branch. And that's really the only thing I'm worried about for David Branch is what is he like mentally in this fight? He is a -315 favorite heading in. We look at the inside the distance on this fight. It's also, this fight's actually an over right now. Over 2.5 rounds is -140. Branch should be better everywhere. Cannoneer, we've seen him get jabbed up in fights. We've seen him get taken down at will. He's fought at heavyweight. He's fought at light heavyweight. Now he's at middleweight. He's at a new camp now. He's training out of the MMA lab, which isn't one of my favorite camps, but at least he's a full-time fighter now. I didn't know about, honestly, until a couple hours ago when I was doing a different podcast. Somebody brought it up. Overall, I like Branch a lot. I want to try and fit him in. It's just you have to compare him to other guys in that salary range. You have Sajara Eubanks, Lyman Good, Daniel Cormier, all up in that top tier. I will say I don't think Branch isn't my favorite option up there, but he's not my least favorite. Lisa we'll talk about later. So he's definitely in play in GPPs and cash games. I don't think I want any of Jared Cannoneer. I know he's been in there with great guys, but he just doesn't look like he has the skill set for me. So Branch is the only guy I'm interested in. Kyle, any different take on this one?
No, not really. I think Branch has a clear path to victory. If he wants to take this fight to the ground, he's going to dominate there. I think Cannoneer is really relying on a knockout here. So for that reason, I think he's in play in like the where you're trying to win $25,000 in first place on that $10 contest. But really, I think that's the only contest that I'd be interested in with Cannoneer or a qualifier. Something top heavy, because I don't think he's a good play. He's just cheap and he could get a knockout. So it's just complete boom bust with Cannoneer. But Branch on the other end, he is going to go lower owned because of those other people you mentioned. They are better plays. Simple as that. If you're only making a couple lineups, those people are better plays. So you should go there. But Branch at lower ownership, I do like, because I think he can get a finish in the first round with a knockout or a submission. It's just the problem with his $9,300 price tag. If he goes to a decision, he's not going to pay that off. So there are better plays, but I like him at low ownership, and I do see him getting a finish as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of finishes on this card. It's just going to be about really picking the ownership, I think, and that's what I like about Branch here.
Yep, 100% agree with that. We'll move on to our co-main event. Chris Weidman, 8,500, taking on Ronaldo Jacare Souza at 7,700. Weidman is the favorite, -170. Come back on Souza, +160. This fight is over 2.5 rounds, -110, so pick him there. I think that's about right for reasons we're going to discuss. Kyle, why don't you take the lead on the analysis for this fight?
My free bet of the week is Weidman to win at -170, one unit. And I think he's just going to get a decision. I think this is going to mostly take place on the feet. And maybe Weidman's going to go for some late takedowns to seal the rounds. And that's just how I see him getting the win here. I wish we would have seen this fight a few years ago. I think it would have been much better back then. But I am glad we're finally seeing it. And I just don't think it's going to be as exciting as we would like. I think they're going to stand more than we would like. I think this would be a great ground fight. And I just don't think it's going to take place there. So I have to favor Weidman. I think he will be the one that can get takedowns if he needs them. But on the other hand, I think Souza actually has the better finishing potential. So he's the better GPP play in my eyes at 7,700. Even though I'm picking Weidman to win, I'm going to have some hedges with Jacare in my GPPs because you got to have underdogs. There's not many I like on this card. This isn't one I feel good about, but I do like his finishing upside, and for that reason, I'll have him in some GPPs.
So Weidman is an All-American wrestler, and Jacare Souza is a world champion BJJ practitioner. Weidman is also a BJJ black belt and has won some championships, but not like Jacare. Jacare is cream of the crop in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So why this fight should stay standing, why everyone thinks it's going to, is Weidman's not going to want to go to the ground with Jacare early in a round, because so is just BJJ is better, and not many people can say that when they take on or have that advantage over Weidman. Souza, on the other hand, will want to get this fight to the ground, but won't be able to take down Chris Weidman. So he goes to striking. Jacare Souza is the more powerful striker, as Kyle alluded to. He's more likely to get a finish. We've also seen Weidman hurt in multiple fights, his last few fights. Weidman also a big part of getting MMA in New York. He's 1-2 fighting in New York. So a little bit of narrative there. Ultimately, though, Weidman is the more technical striker. As long as he doesn't get hurt, I think he will be able to outpoint and possibly score late takedowns in those rounds when Souza won't have a lot of time to work for his submission. And you have to worry about Souza's gas tank and his age. He's actually older than Weidman. We saw him gas against Gastelum. He looked tired against UL, and I know those are beasts, but I think the later this fight goes, the more it favors Weidman. So for all those reasons, I'm also leaning Weidman as the pick. I think this is... You want to say that this fight is a better GPP fight, but ultimately I think I'm going to be underweight to the field on both guys because I'm picking Weidman to win, but I don't think he can get it done quick here. So I'm not sure how well either one of them will score. But for me, I agree with Kyle, Weidman is the pick. Move on to the main event. Daniel Cormier, 9,600, taking on Derek Lewis at 6,600. Good old Hot Balls fighting for the heavyweight title. He is plus 515. DC is minus 620. Kyle, why don't you start with the breakdown everybody probably knows already.
Yeah, this is the easiest fight to call on the card. It's just complete domination by Daniel Cormier. I think he's the better stand-up fighter here if he really wanted to go there. And I think he will test it out a bit to start. But as soon as he wants to go to the ground, that's what's going to happen. He's going to take this fight to the ground. He's going to dominate there. He's just going to pound on Lewis. He's going to wear him out. And Lewis does have heart, so maybe he can survive through that until the second or the third round. But eventually, Daniel Cormier is going to finish him here in this fight. The only shot Lewis has is by landing that one-punch knockout. At 6,600, if he lands it, he's going to be on the winning lineup. So I don't think you could fully fade him here. It's really not likely, and he's nowhere near Daniel Cormier's level in fighting. So it's knockout or bust for him, and if it happens in the third round after he gets his ass kicked for two rounds, that's really not even going to help you with 6,600 probably. So he's not that great of a play, but Daniel Cormier is. I think he can get 130 points in this fight from just getting takedowns and then a whole bunch of ground strikes and then the finish as well, because he will get a finish. This isn't going to go five rounds. So I think he's the best play on the board. If you're making 10 lineups, I think 9 Cormier, 1 Lewis makes the most sense to me. Stacking cash as well, I think that's solid. I don't think it's a must, but I think Cormier is a must in cash.
Yep, I agree with that last part. So the one thing, fight breakdown, I won't go a ton of time into that. There's something else I want to talk about. I don't think Cormier is going to stand up with him because of the injured hand. I think I agree with you if his hand wasn't hurt. I think he's not going to want to mess around in the feet with that hurt hand, and he's just going to go right for a takedown. And quick win is fine with me. I still think even if he gets it done super quick, it's still about 100 points, which in cash games is just fine. Could be dicey for tournaments, but I'll lock in my points. What I do want to talk about the GPP exposures in that I want a ton of Cormier. I think there are some live GPP dogs, but you have to build some lineups accounting for no or one or maybe two underdogs winning, and that's more of a balanced lineup, and Cormier prices you out of that at 9,600. So I want a ton of him, but I wouldn't go all in just for that reason. He's the most expensive fighter on the card, and even if he scores the most points, value has to open up for him to be in the optimal lineup and you to win the $25,000. So something to keep in mind there. The other thing I wanted to talk about is with Derek Lewis. Because of the whole Hot Balls thing, I think he's going to be relatively popular. And at 6,600, look, the ownership he's going to be at, I either think you have to have a strong take on Derek Lewis and go overweight to the field, and I think he's at 6,600. I think he's going to be relatively owned in that lower price range. People aren't going to go towards Ben Saunders and in GPPs, Roxanne Modafari. I think Lewis will get ownership. He's popular. Casuals like him. It's a pay-per-view card. I am either going to totally fade Derek Lewis or be overweight to the field. I don't want, for me, I don't want to mess around with one or two lineups. I think it puts you in that kind of wash area where you're not getting leverage. In GPPs, I look for as much leverage as I can get. If you want to take leverage on the Cormier side, 90%, you know, the 9-1, like Kyle said, totally fits in that. 90% will be over the field. Just something else to think about in terms of ownership when you're gauging how to approach a GPP. Cash games, I think you could stack. Another option I like better, we'll talk about. But DC is, and God, I hate this word. Because people ask me in our VIP chat all the time about it. DC is as close as to a cash game lock as I will ever see or say. I hate the word lock, but he should dominate this fight. Huge line. And even if he loses, any type of decent player is going to have him in cash. So that's the breakdown for the main card of UFC 230. For everyone, that was free. Again, if you want to become a DFS Army member, use the code SNIPER or the code SLEEVELESS, 10% off. And you can listen to the rest of this podcast and all the other great content. Members, hang on for 1 second. We'll finish breaking down UFC 230.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.